Hi, I'm Richie Swan, and I am with Harriet Jeffries, also known as the Gym Babe, and we are a gay and a girl in the gym. a girl and a gay in the gym.
So this week's episode is all about the diet starts Monday. So we're talking about that diet and mentality of why we always have to start on a Monday, why we go so extreme, why we use January as a kickstart, and we're talking about retraining the brain and getting out of those bad old habits.
So, Harriet, why is dieting so hard? We have it all the time. People struggle with the food. What is it?
It's because it goes against how our body is made to function. So evolution's dictated that when we are hungry...
Say that again.
Evolution's dictated. Why was that? Why did that make you laugh?
You got all, like, science degree on me.
Because you do it as evolution.
Evolution.
Can't bear you. Failed me, sats.
Come on.
So evolution, like... Long story short, we've got, I can't bear you, I can't do this.
I don't know why I keep laughing every time you say evolution.
Right, I'm not using that word again.
I'll shut up.
When you diet, your body goes into this under a bit of stress. The reason being is because if you're not providing it with a constant supply of energy, when those energy stores start to go down, you start to get hungry, your body becomes under stress and your fight or flight kicks in. So that stress hormone and those signals that are released are like, okay, I need to find food now. If you're continuously keeping in that deficit, and that deficit maybe is too much for you to be able to cope with, all of a sudden you go a little bit chocker because that stress hormone builds up and you're like, oh my God, I need to get something to eat. And you grab the nearest thing. So when you go into this like diet starts Monday or like January diet or detox or holiday extreme diets, when you do it, your body all of a sudden goes from 0 to 100. You go from filling your face to being in this massive stress on your body. And because of it, you can't cope. So you go from starve to binge.
Yeah. And then what'll happen is you won't have eaten all day. You'll get to the end of the night and you carb crash and you want to eat everything in sight. Mm. And I know so many people who do this quite often, actually. So, okay, how do we combat that then? That mentality of where do you go from 0 to 100? And then obviously 99% of people don't get past a couple of days because they've put too much pressure on themselves.
I'd say before you even begin, stop and actually plan it. Don't go into something like blindfolded. If it's something that you really want to change and it is something that you want to do, you have to think about it and think about the journey that you're going to go on. So I've got an analogy.
Oh, go on.
Here's another clever word for you. Right.
You blow me away.
How many times have you said that?
Go on.
Right. So to say as the Wizard of Oz, you are Dorothy, of course.
Of course.
You want to get to the Wizard of Oz. You want to get to Oz because you've heard that when you get there, everything that you want, yeah. Well, it might be that everything you want, all your goals, for example, are going to be fulfilled. So everything you want, you've got to go on this long yellow brick road. But when you get there, supposedly, from what you've heard, it's going to make you happier. So you take all your mates along with you. You've got your Tin Man.
And then you're there, the Wicked Witch. You go, fuck me. I was led down the wrong path.
Ciggies and a bottle of gin. So you are your own Dorothy and you have to pick what way to follow. So you have to pick your own and plan your own yellow brick road. But if you've never been there before or you've never been there in your life as it is now, when you're talking about getting to this Wizard of Oz, when you're talking about getting to this place or this goal, you only think you know how it feels because other people have told you. You don't know how it feels because you've not felt that way as you are now. So, you know, you say, okay, babe, I just want to lose 0.5 stone. I've got it in my head. I want to be below 10 stone. That's my goal, blah, blah, blah. But you're talking about something that you've got to go on this big journey to get down. How do you know you're going to be happier when you get there? So what I would say is plan your road, plan your yellow brick road, and maybe make little stops along the way and say, okay, it's talking about those shorter goals, but take it slower and maybe you won't get all the way to us, but you'll stop halfway at Canny Farm and feel better. Just because you've idolized it or like idealized
there's a lot of people who are from Liverpool who listen to this and they'll be like, where the hell is Canny Farm?
It's gorgeous. You've come. It's Was on the opening scene to Brookside.
Was it? No.
But it's true though, isn't it? It's all that mentality. You only think you're going to feel a certain way because you assume you will. But these goals, these numbers and these things don't mean anything. Nothing's going to happen when you get to that Oz, that place. You're not going to walk in by a size 8 and your life's going to change. You're not going to think any differently. It's the journey. It's all about it is the journey.
I also think as well.
It's the climb.
Oh, I love that song.
I know you do.
I put that as me lights out and spin. My motivational track. I think we live now in a time where everything is instant, where you want something, you get it. People are getting Botox, surgery. Everything is a quick fix. But if you look at anything that's worth getting, so like for you to get your degree, it wasn't easy. You had to put in hard work and graft to get there, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Same with your body. You can't just have a quick fix. Change comes from dedication, struggle, working hard. And sometimes the word work does make it go, oh, but that is what you've got to do. And I do think it's just the world we're in at the minute is everything's at the click of a button. Everything's convenient. Everything's right now. And it's trying to change that mentality of you can get what you want when you want it. Because when it comes to your body, I'm sorry, but you can't.
Yeah, I think it's so easy. Like now, because of the world we live in, there's loads of marketing fodder where like everything says, you know, you can get a diet pill that claims to get a stone off you in 28 days. Mm. You can get a tea. We talked about on other episodes, but like slimming teas and stuff like that, where people are advertising it as it can even stop you from gaining weight during pregnancy. Like all these literally mad things, and they are insane. But it's because we're used to going, okay, so I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat. And okay, I want to go on holiday, so I'm going to book a holiday.
Yeah.
Want, get.
And the truth is, if you really want something, it's down to how much you want it.
Yeah.
And if you really want something that much, you're prepared to put in the work for it. It is as simple as you don't need all these fads. It's moving more, getting yourself to the gym. Even if it means taking the stairs in work and stuff like that, getting your 10,000 steps in a day, being more organised and tracking your calories. So if you don't know how many calories your body's going to need to lose weight, you're setting yourself up for a fail straight away. Oh, what? Let's just have a few juices every day. And then next minute you starve and you finish the juices and you eat everything in sight. Be accountable. Wake up. You get one life. One life only. Why would you want to be miserable? Starving. Chasing the next high. Whatever. Do you know what I mean? Trying to get it fixed when you can just take your time, put things into place and work at it. And feel proud of yourself when you achieve something.
I think thinking less about the end goal and more about the journey, so enjoying the process, is more important because...
Well, no one enjoys doing a load of walking lunges and the assault bike, but if you can enjoy that journey, let's enjoy it.
No, but it's true, like, you think, okay, so I want to do this because I want to feel this way then, and I want to do this then, but actually, why not just be happy right now? So why not just make some changes that are going to make you feel better right now? So if you want to feel leaner and you want to lose some fat, okay, so cut your calories by 500 a day only and you'll lose fat. Do you know what I mean?
If they're in the deficit, if you're in your deficit. So, pounds a week.
And if your day feels a bit like shitty and you know, do you know what? I don't know, I feel better when I've been to the gym or if I've been to meet the girls for a coffee, go and do the thing that makes you happy because why be unhappy today to think about feeling happier in 6 weeks' time? That doesn't make sense. You could be dead in 6 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think people think too much about like, all right, well, I know it's summer's coming up or this is coming up and I've got this going on and therefore, I know I want to take that picture. What to get an Instagram like?
Well, life's for living and there's always going to be an event because you're a human and hopefully you have friends that you're going to have social events coming up, isn't it? You can't escape that. So that's why we've taught everyone who listens to this about flexible dieting in the past, where if you know you've got something coming up, you can juggle the calories before and after. So it's not going to do you over.
Or just do it like, and do some extra
work. If Yaz is listening, my client Yaz,
you bully or something wicked, you know?
No, I don't. But you know what? I've never known anyone who has a healthy lifestyle twice a week and then goes out five. She has the reverse weekend.
I've never heard of anyone that I know that goes out five nights a week. Richie.
I've changed. I'm in rehab.
All right, so let's move on to talking about one little thing I thought would be good is a lot of us, are in our 20s, 30s, 40s, and we have that mentality that's kind of been passed down to us from our parents and from our influences when we were kids. And it's that almost like 90s diet mentality. By that I mean, it's the era of Weight Watchers, Slimmers. Now, don't get me wrong, if overall those work for you, boss, I'm just using the terminology. But it's the thing of like talking about that fat-free and fattening food thing. So you know where people say, oh, well, I was good today because I had brown bread instead of white. And I only had like a tiny bit of butter. Like the way Grandma Jean talks, she gets Muller yogurts.
Oh, the Muller light.
No, no, she just gets the normal because she's seen on the advert the girl was very slim.
Nicole Scherzinger. I love Nicole Scherzinger.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Oh yeah, you do, don't you?
She'd make me buy a Muller light.
If you did drag, I'd want you to be Nicole Scherzinger.
Tina Turner. Yeah. So go on, Grandma Jean, sorry to cut you out.
So, I mean, Grandma Jean carries on shocking. And now the new craze is, if a company writes the word protein on the front or something.
Everything.
Oh, that must mean it's calorie free, babe. And gluten free. Oh,
stock up on them Reese cups you're allowed, full of protein, yeah. Peanut
protein.
Butter.
Protein. Luke, I'm not joking, comes in and he goes, oh yeah, no, I bought these dead good things, the brownies though, they're only 400 calories.
Only 400
But it's got protein up. And I'm like, babe, you've just eaten 400 calories after your tea, for what? And he goes, babe, like...
It was protein.
Yeah, that's what he said to me. I'm like, are you actually for real? He goes, I bought protein cookies. I feel like getting them and stuffing them down his throat. I'm like, the 300 calories, you're eating a cookie.
That himself.
You're like, oh, no, yeah. I'm like, you don't need it. Like, you're not hungry. What are you eating that for?
And I do think that's the thing with a lot of people, because we do obviously promote having a high-protein diet to keep you full, but it's about finding the right source and checking that they fit in your calories, isn't it?
If you didn't know what to look out for on the back about reading your labels, even if you don't know how to read your labels, what I'd say is everything comes with a code on the front. Red, orange and green, doesn't it? Look for as many green as you can, it's easy. Unless you're colourblind, in which case, I'm sorry, hon.
Just ask the person in the shop working.
Take care.
Excuse me, what colour's this?
But don't fall for that fodder of something saying protein on the front. Maybe just look on the back and go, okay, I like this one, I like this one, and I like this one.
Yeah.
Let's just see what's the least calories and do it that way and just... Be realistic with your portion sizes for it as well.
And I can guarantee as well, anyone who's out there now listening and you think you're struggling, it's like, oh, never mind. If you can consistently work out your calories and stay at a sensible deficit that's going to get you to where you want to get to and keep that going, move more, you will get to where you want to get to. You have just got to stick at it and trust the process. It's not going to happen overnight. You're probably not going to see changes for a good 5 or 6 weeks. But that's what it's going to take. And we're so used to it. We have a drink, you feel the effects of a drink instantly. You go on whatever, you do this. Everything's an instant feel good. Well, I'm sorry with your body. It's the complete opposite way around. Yeah. Instantly feels hard. You're having to train. You're having to watch what you eat. But the end goal is 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, you're going to start seeing the differences. People are going to go, oh my God, you look great. And then that's where the feel good starts coming in, when people start noticing your clothes feel good. Nothing feels better than that, and you've worked hard for it and you've earned it yourself, no one else.
Yeah, it's almost like a relationship, isn't it? It's something that, like, at the start you're dead motivated and you feel amazing, you get dead excited about it. But in order for that relationship to work, and it's your relationship with food and your relationship
and yourself,
with yourself.
Yeah.
So in order for it to work, it's something that there's always going to be bumps in the road. You're always going to have fallouts. You're always going to have arguments. You are going to have times when days where you totally fuck up and all you've got to do is apologise. Apologise to yourself. Like,
and get back on that bike and carry on your journey.
Yeah, exactly.
You just get back on.
So now we want to talk about fat shaming, but more importantly, or more specifically, fat shaming yourself. And the reason that I think it's important for us to talk about it is because, for one, I know how guilty that I am of doing it to myself, especially since getting pregnant, and it's taken me until getting to 7 months.
Really?
Horrendous.
Why?
Because I lost so much weight.
Yeah, but you're pregnant, you're not fat.
I know, but, like, I know, I do know all this, but it's still, like, when you are pregnant, for girls, if you have been or you are, you'll never feel, you feel like you're a little teeny tiny person sat inside somebody else's body, this massive body. And even if everyone else goes to you, you look like you've swallowed a pea. Or the other extreme, whereas people look at you and go, oh my God, the size of you now. And you feel like saying, fuck off, Karen.
Hey, who's Karen? Was that just a name? Or?
No, just the name. I'm not going to say a name. Donna. No, I'm anyway. I was really, really, like, really bad with this. The first, like, I would say my first 6 months of pregnancy, because I felt so uncomfortable. And every week I could see that I was getting bigger and everything was getting tighter. And one day, Luke sat me down and went, you need to stop this because this is what you want. This is the short term right now for how you're going to feel. And he went, it's not going to get any better over the next couple of months. It's probably going to be worse, but it's something you need to accept and make your plan and follow your own advice to say, okay, well, in the future, I know I'm going to feel like that. And from making this sacrifice, this is what I'm going to get from it. Unless the baby looks like him, in which case there'll be murder.
Adoption.
Well, there you go. Girls are horrendous for it, where like someone gives you a compliment as a woman,
yeah,
and you immediately put it down. So I could say, if you were a girl, I'd say to you, oh, I love your top, babe, and you go, oh, it's only TK Maxx, it was only a tenner, and immediately you put it down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or I could say, oh, you look really brown today, or like, you look really tan today, and you could go,
oh, it's only Samaritz.
Yeah,
five it's only from Samaritz. Home bargain.
And we're like terrible for it as a country, as like putting ourselves down, especially women are terrible for it. I know I do it. So I would say like, oh, right, okay, so I'm 24 weeks today, blah, blah, blah. And then underneath I'd be like, feel like a whale. Instead of being like, I'm 24 weeks, I'm getting bigger, I'm embracing my body. And I think I say it with clients all the time. So yesterday I did a client's pictures to compare from when she started with me to what she looks like now. And the first thing she said was, I've still got a long way to go.
And did she have a big change?
She had a huge change. And like, she looked amazing. She tried so hard. And I was like, she's fat shaming herself instead of saying, oh my God, I've done really good there.
She's come, yeah.
Yeah, and I think we need to like, especially if you're going into a diet.
Plus, I also think with that mentality, if you go, I've got a long way to go, at what point do you look at yourself and go, I'm happy? Do you know what I mean?
Or you,
no, but that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. So I've got clients who look to me as close to perfect as you get, and they go, oh yeah, but, oh yeah, but. And I think this is now where we start. It's more a mental health thing maybe, or
definitely.
Isn't it, where they need
well,
to start?
Well, I've got pictures on my phone that you sent to me, that you took off me last year when we were training. And at the time, I remember looking at them and I tore them apart to myself. And I was like, right, that needs to change, that I need to change, that I need to change, that. And then I saw the same pictures yesterday and I've put them into like a little separate folder on my phone.
And you look at them now and you're proud of yourself.
And now I'm like, there was absolutely nothing wrong with me. I was strong, I was fit, and I was happy.
Nothing wrong. Instead of just going, I looked fucking amazing. So it's even down to them little words that you use about yourself.
I know.
And it's the same as, we've spoke about this before, but do you know when people go, I want to get back to a certain way?
Yeah.
And they look at a photo that they just took after training, where they'd angled it, where they took 100 photos before to get one that...
I know, yeah.
And then
and you look back at that one Instagram picture and think that's what,
and they go,
what you look
and
like.
And in their head now,
it?
They go, because it's a year down the line, they go, well, that's what I look like then. It's like, babe, you never, you're on an angle for one.
Yeah.
You just trained for two. You've probably got fake tan on, a little filter. Be realistic. If you're going to compare yourself to a photo and you want to go back to something or get back to where you were, it's having that realistic expectation. And again, like you say, being kind to you.
Yeah. So maybe this time when you're dieting and when you're starting to track, we've talked
about... Or instead of dieting, when you're changing your lifestyle.
Yeah, when you start your journey.
Of self-discovery.
Focus a bit more. I mean, we talk about it all the time, but focus more on your pictures. And I would say taking them like every, like, I would say every 4 weeks.
I do every 3 months, but like 12 weeks.
Oh, do you?
But, yeah.
See, I need like...
A bit more.
Yeah, see, I do need reassurance. I'm more needy than that.
I do my measurements in between then, but then the photos I'll do at the end of the 3 months.
Well, I suppose whatever way works for you, isn't it? But each time you get that picture, right? Say maybe put the picture as if you were going to put it on your story. Write something positive, save it. And then you don't have to post it on your story, but write something positive and save it and make a different album on your phone. So say like, on this picture, this day, my abs look good here. My arse looked really firm here. I felt good about myself. I was happy
but
that
Joe,
day.
But Joe, what makes me laugh, right? And I agree, this is, that sounds like a really good idea. But Joe, we live in this world where we'd easily say something bad about ourselves. Equally, we live in a world where if someone goes, oh, my abs look, oh, look, them full of themselves, isn't
I
it?
Know, yeah.
And everyone's guilty for that as well. So it's like, you can't win, but feel good and say, my abs look good here and fucking own it.
I know, I would.
I don't, and Joe, what? You're allowed to love yourself. You're allowed to want to better yourself.
1,000,000%.
Yeah, and like, just do it.
For women, especially those who are mums or are going to become mums or want to become mums in the future, it would break your heart to
your
think
child.
Of your daughter yeah. talking about herself in a way that sometimes we talk about ourselves. So in order for you to be able to be the person, or be the parent and be the example that you want to be, you've got to change now. That doesn't matter yeah. whether you're 19 or 40. Like, you have to start making those changes now, because the only way... You know, on Mean Girls, they talk about, we make it okay for men to call us, whatever she says, like sluts and bitches or something, doesn't she? And then because we call each other sluts and bitches, if you turn around about other women and say, oh my God, the cellulite on her legs, then you make it okay for people to say that. Like, you, or if you say it about yourself, so if you turn around and went, I'm full of stretch marks, you would make that okay. Whereas in reality, I've never had a conversation with a girl who said she's not got one. Yeah. I don't think that exists.
Half so the you, time, you, I think that's like a defence mechanism where they're pointing out their flaws to you before you point it out to them. Or
a
before,
million
percent. So it's like kind of like that getting attacked before attack kind of mentality.
Yeah, like when you put me down constantly. Terrible. Shocking.
Oh, babe, I call that banter.
So to finish today, I thought we'd talk a little bit about some ridiculous celebrity diets, because I know that I've tried some of them. And I think most girls are, you know, we're guilty of trying these extreme, ridiculous things that are never going to work, but we read about them and assume. So here's some of the stuff that I've found online, some of these diets that supposedly these celebrities have been associated with. I think the most common one, the one that we've talked about before, is the Beyoncé Master Cleanse. Supposedly, before Beyoncé did Dreamgirls and she had loads of weight to lose, which she didn't, she went on this maple syrup, lemon juice, I think it was like cayenne pepper.
So what's
I can't remember.
This?
I don't know, but our producer Gemma vomited when she has it.
Oh.
I made it as well. I went and bought the stuff. Oh, it was absolutely disgusting anyway. And it's basically starvation with a bit of sugar in it. That's the only way I can describe it. And all these magazines put things out and said that is what Beyoncé did. She's never talked about it, but...
And she never spoke about it.
She's
it's
never
just
spoken
said
about
she's
it. She's
it.
Never acknowledged it.
Because it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's so why she probably never done it.
All these things. And do you know what?
Sorry,
out of the
language.
Two women in this room now, both of them tried it because Beyoncé was associated with it. So these people aren't stupid, are they? Do you know what I mean? It's absolutely insane. I then went online and had a little look at some other mad diets associated with celebrities. Again, never proven, but supposedly Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, go on.
She eats baby food.
I've heard this before. I've heard bodybuilders eating baby foods, and I'm not sure what it was for. I'd have to have a look, but someone told me about this.
I wonder if she eats it with a fork or with a spoon. Snooki from Jersey Shore, this is my favourite one. Did you used to watch Jersey Shore?
No,
oh,
I couldn't
God,
bear
she
it.
Was unreal. Snooki has 6 cookies a day. It's the Snooki cookie diet. And Snooki has 6 cookies a day and 1 small meal. She
but you know what, if she's in it, obviously it's not a nice, balanced, vitamin, mineral-rich plan. But if she's in a deficit, she is going to lose weight. But so the, my God.
So far, out of the Master Cleanse, the baby foods, and the Snooki cookie
so
diet.
So far, the Snooki cookie's got me.
It's beaten her. Apparently, Katy Perry, can't bear her, but Katy Perry swaps 1 meal a day for 14 raw mushrooms. It's called the M diet.
And what on earth is that going to do? I think we need to look at why.
Apparently, Jennifer Aniston eats for her blood group. Now, there was this massive trend a few years ago, wasn't there, where everyone was like, oh my God, you can diet based on your blood type and blah, blah, blah. It's later come out and been proven that most of that's a crock of shit. But she still does it. Megan Fox, a bit like yourself, my gorge. Loads of plastic surgery and has apple cider vinegar.
I knew I was doing something right. I'm just like Megan.
And the last one is the one that I'm actually going to start soon. Kourtney Kardashian, after she had her babies, swears by freezing a placenta, having them made into pills, and having placenta pills to help with mood and losing the baby weight.
That's like that Placenta Plus, isn't it?
That's who
and
I'm getting.
And she's a Scouser, the girl who owns that.
So the girl who does it, and that's who I'm getting it from.
How are you?
And apparently it's amazing. And it's this idea that, so after you give birth, all of the nutrients are in your placenta. We know that anyway. And across different countries, loads of people have talked about in the past, they like boil the placenta, they eat the placenta, blah, blah, blah. Now, I don't think I could quite eat it, but supposedly these pills, you freeze dry your placenta, keeps all the nutrients, and then you just take it as a little capsule pill. You can also buy like creams and stuff like that. They're supposed to be really good because you're putting all the goodness from your body back into it. And Kourtney Kardashian's the first major celebrity being associated with. So as soon as she put it online and said, I actually think the reason that my body has reacted so well after this pregnancy is because of placenta pills. They are massive all over the world. And now, personally, I know more women do it than don't.
So now we know what diets not to do. And we know that we need to be a bit kind to ourselves.
We need to be the Dorothy in our own story.
Yeah, that's it. So we're going to leave you here to go make your happily ever after. Sort your shit out. Stop trying to rush it. Enjoy the process. It's all about just liking you for who you are. Good night.
Okay, folks, so at the end of each episode, we are going to be answering your questions. So if you've got anything you want to know, send us a little message at Gail Gay Gym, either on Twitter or Insta. Rach1687 has sent us a message. And she said, basically, Rach works shifts. So she's really good at getting her food ready. She can prep everything and she counts the calories for work. But sometimes the nature of my work means that she she's missing snacks or meals through the night. It's not ideal, but sometimes it can't be avoided. If I end up missing a snack or meal on certain shifts and I only eat two meals a day, so she's in even lower calories, can I put these extra calories to different days and have a bevy?
Yeah. Well, it's called flexible dieting.
Yeah, exactly. So if in work...
Well, absolutely. Right. Because you can't enjoy your Prosecco without putting weight on if you're not then sticking... If you're not balancing your calories out.
Yeah, I'd just put you... So say for those days where you're on your shift pattern, drop your calories that little bit lower. So maybe by an extra like couple of hundred and say to yourself, okay, so I'm banking some more calories to still be in a deficit overall for the whole week, but allow myself to have... On your days off, you can have that little bit more, like that Prosecco or the chocolate or whatever you want to have. But just, it literally is a game of math. So if you work out what your calorie deficit is per day, right? Multiply it by 7 and then you know what you need to be under for the whole week. You can kind of like keep track of it that way.
Okay, so we've got RobChamp7. Hi guys. Thanks for the top class chat show. It's refreshing to hear real gym talk and not gym nutrition geeks talk science that no one understands. You guys talk a lot about losing weight. I want to pick up a little weight and bulk, put size on. Should I up calories, maintain calories, or lose calories and weigh? Why can't I read that? And weight up in the gym. Does that make sense or does that make? Will you read it all to make it sense?
Yeah, basically Rob sent us a message which is quite basic and says, we always talk about losing weight, but he wants to put a little bit of weight on and bulk up. So basically he's asking us, should he put his calories up? Should he keep them at maintenance or should he drop them down?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
This is a bit more sport like specific, isn't it, for wanting to bulk up? So it depends. If you're looking to cut body fat but also gain muscle, it's really hard to do the two, isn't it? If you're just looking to gain size, if you've already got low body fat, gain size and put a bit of weight on, yeah, go slightly over your maintenance. So go to a little bit of I'd say a 5 or 10% surplus, isn't it?
Yeah, I usually say about 10%.
Yeah.
But then workouts-wise, maybe just focus less on cardio and HIIT and that type of stuff.
And more weights.
Yeah, and just do your strength training.
The weights won't take your heart rate up that much where it goes into a fat burning zone, will it, where the cardio does?
Yeah, so you'll be burning less calories and then if you're in a bit of a maintenance, as long as overall for the week that it's not like 4,000 calories in a surplus, which is quite easy to do. Still track it and just only allow yourself that little bit more. And
yeah, so you're not talking a massive amount. It's literally 5-10%, isn't it, over and you just track it from there. If 10% on means you start putting on quite a bit of body fat and you just cut it down a little bit, isn't it? It's everyone's different. You've got to play with it.
Trial and error.
Trial and error. Robbie Babe.
You've been listening to Hattie Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird, and Richie Swan, also known as Richie Swan, on A Girl and a Gay in the Gym. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, rate and review it on Apple Podcasts now to help more people hear about it. And don't forget to follow the socials at Girl Gay Gym on Instagram and Twitter.